I hurt myself today to see if I still feel. I focus on the pain, the only thing that's real. The needle tears a hole, the old familiar sting. Try to kill it all away, but I remember everything. What have I become? My sweetest friend, everyone I know goes away in the end. And you could have it all, my empire of dirt. I will let you down, I will make you hurt.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in to Podzilla 1985. We kind of have a very serious show to do tonight that we've been putting off for about a week now for various reasons, you know, scheduling and just the fact that every day that we postpone doing this, it seems to get worse and worse. My name is Shannon Young. I'll be your host tonight, as always. With me are Jesse Kimball from Pentanerd. Jesse, hello.
Hey, how's it going, buddy?
And returning from our very popular and controversial police officer episode, we have Mr. Blue with us again. Mr. Blue, thank you for coming back and sharing your experience with us.
Evening.
Now, if you know Podzilla 1985, you know that first and foremost, we are an entertainment site. It comes from Blogzilla 1985, which was first and foremost an entertainment site. However, when Michael Brown was shot not too long ago, it turned very serious on the website. And kind of the same thing here for Podzilla. We do cover serious topics. I am a journalist at heart. This is something that I've been wanting to talk about for a while. We're here to talk tonight about Freddie Gray. If you haven't been paying attention to the news, and Lord knows not enough people have been, Freddie Gray was an African-American gentleman who was killed on April 12th. When he was arrested for making eye contact with police officers, who then he fled, they chased him, they arrested him for what turned out at the time that they thought he had a switchblade. That's what he was arrested for. He was transported unprofessionally, not secured, fell into a coma. He died on April 19th due to a spinal injury that still hasn't been completely explained. Needless to say that it is another tragedy and a black eye on the police department and on America and on race relations in America. And that's what we're here to talk about tonight, gentlemen. So, you know, before we get to the riots, because that's the real meat and potatoes of this, that's where all the controversy is coming from lately, let's talk about Freddie Gray and what happened to him. Let's talk about the arrest itself. Now, Mr. Blue, as a police officer, we talked about this off the air.
Yeah.
About, was the arrest of Freddie Gray legit? Was it a good arrest, in your opinion?
I say that it was. He was not arrested for, as you say, making eye contact with the police.
No, he was just, they had probable cause to chase him. Or as you
not
put it,
probable cause, reasonable suspicion. There's a continuum of suspicion or a continuum of proof as it goes. And, by running away from the police on first blush, you create what is called reasonable suspicion to create a stop with you. To compel you to stop and compel you to talk to the police at the very least, to detain you for investigative purposes, run your ID, do the due diligence, that sort of thing. He ran, he created reasonable suspicion. Yeah. They chased him, they told him, stop, you are being legally detained, stop. They tried to stop him physically, he resisted, and that is what he got arrested for. The switchblade was a charge added later after they found it. He was arrested for fleeing, eluding, resisting arrest.
Importantly, it was not a switchblade.
Yeah,
no, it was a perfectly legal pocket knife.
Yeah,
legal size, legal height.
I don't know if that come out today or was that recently that came out.
That was actually like shortly after, like the day one. They claimed that there was a switchblade on him, but it was confirmed later. It became public like day two, basically. Yep. But it was a completely legal pocket knife.
One of the arresting officers.
The charge for the knife was an erroneous charge.
And it was.
All that he should have been charged with was fleeing, eluding, resisting arrest.
And in fact, the attorneys and the mayor, they have said that his arrest was illegal. Now, at this point, They have said today that his arrest was illegal, and I don't know if you've heard, but they have charged the six officers involved with his arrest with murder. And we'll get to that in a second. I want to go over that in extensively. Yeah. But, you know, aside from the law, let's just talk about this like normal people here. He makes eye contact with the police. He runs. Now, why did he run? We'll never know, obviously, because Freddie Gray is dead. But you can make the argument, and we talked about this a while back, that he ran maybe because he knew he had the knife. He wasn't sure if it was legal or not. Maybe he was afraid. He knew what's happened recently with the cops just not too long ago. Eric Garner, killed by the police. Walter Scott, killed by the police. So here's a black man with a weapon on him, and he sees these two cops who make eye contact with him. He runs away because he's scared. More than likely, he was scared. And turns out he had good reason to be scared because he ended up dead from it.
Right. Well, because like even outside of all the other incidents lately,
with all of the other areas,
Baltimore in general has had a huge problem over the last like 3 decades with police brutality, like the whole thing about like him being unsecured in the van. That's not new. Like, that has been an ongoing problem in Baltimore, and that's, you know, not even the least of it. But, like, I don't blame him for running. Like, looking at it from my perspective, he was in an area that was high crime traffic area. Like, a lot of, like, drug deals go down in that area, a lot of other things that the police have found in that area.
It's a rough neighborhood.
Right, it's a rough area, and the police in Baltimore are known for their brutality.
Yeah, I wish I had the stats here on me, but it has been a major problem. That's one of the things that they mentioned in this case, is that the Baltimore police do have a brutality problem. So it's entirely reasonable that he would run, but if he hadn't run, do you think, and Mr. Blue, I direct this to you especially, in your opinion, if he hadn't run as a police officer, would you have detained a African-American suspect just for being African-American and walking down the street?
I wouldn't have detained him, no.
Would you have questioned him?
No, I can't say that I would. All he did was look at them. It was the running that created the suspicion. So if he just walked past me on the street, hey, how you doing? Goodbye.
Now, as a police officer, if you make eye contact with somebody, can you tell? Do you have a hint that something's wrong if you look them in the eye?
You get a bit of a feel for it. It's by no means a sixth sense or anything like that, but you learn to feel things. You learn to read people a little bit. You learn to tell if someone is telling you the whole truth or means someone harm. There are signs.
Right.
And you internalize those signs, and they become second nature for you to spot them.
So if you're in this position of these officers, and you spot Freddie Gray, and he makes eye contact with you, and you get that suspicion that something's not right, and you stop him. Let's say he did stop and he didn't run. And you talk to him, and you find the switchblade on him, or the weapon, the knife that has been confirmed now that was not a switchblade and was not illegal. But he stops, and you talk to him, and you find it. What is the procedure if you have suspicion that it is an illegal weapon?
Well, I would measure the blade, and I would
on the spot, or you would.
I would measure the blade, probably either using some sort of measuring device that they might take, they might keep on hand in the car, in the patrol car,
right?
Or just estimate the blade, like look at it. That's way too long, or no, that's not nearly too long, something like that. I would make my best guess or my best measurement of the blade's legality as compared to Maryland state law.
Right.
And if it was not in violation of Maryland state law, I'd give it back to him and send him on his way if he was doing nothing wrong. I've done it a million times.
But in this particular case, he ran.
In this particular case, he ran, which created the chase, which created the scuffle, which killed him.
So when they came out today and said that his arrest was bad, that it was a bad arrest, do you think that that is a legit ruling, or do you think they're caving into pressure from the riots and all of the controversy?
In my honest opinion, I think that may be a little political.
Same with the arrest for the officers?
For the original arrest, saying that that was an unwarranted arrest, that was an unwarranted chase, an unwarranted detainment. No, in my best estimation, to my best knowledge of the case, that is a bit of a political gesture. That's saying, okay, guys, we agree. Just please stop burning everything down.
Do you think there, Jesse, I'm going to direct this to you, because you and I were in St. Louis during the Ferguson incident. We didn't know it, but we were in around
right,
that area.
Yeah.
We didn't know until we got home. But do you think it's in direct response to what happened in Ferguson with all of the destruction and the riots and the pain and the loss of the community? Do you think they're caving into this because of that reason? They're trying to avoid another Ferguson? Or do you think, unlike Mr. Blue, that this was a good call, that this arrest was erroneous?
See, I don't know. It's kind of a twofold situation here. First, I think the only reason that Freddie Gray ran was because of the shit police force in Baltimore. And I guess that's a little mean to say. There's a known issue of police brutality. He was frightened. If they said it was a switchblade when they found him, when they found the knife, like, what's to say they wouldn't have arrested him right then and there and said, well, he had a switchblade on him when they went to talk to him? Because these cops have already proven themselves to not be
good
people.
Yeah.
Like, you know,
I have to stop you there. The department has a demonstrable history of problems, but to call an individual officer not a good person because of the foul actions of his colleagues, even in the same department, is fallacious.
This was one of the officers that put him unsecured in the back of the van.
Yeah, I agree with that. I agree with that. But I just had to jump in. I'm sorry.
That's fine. Like, I mean, and that's why I took back what I said about a shit police force.
Yeah.
Because it's not fair to say that the entire group is bad. But, like, these are the guys, we know these guys are not good people. Like, I mean, what?
The cops in question.
The cops that were involved in this arrest. Yeah, one or two of them may have been okay. The ones that were specifically involved, in my opinion, Freddie Gray would not have run had he not, had the police not had a reputation at this point for that kind of behavior.
There was a history in the area. There was a...
Right.
Well, you know, now that you bring it up, I want to talk about that thing we didn't get to talk about on the air last time we had you on, Mr. Blue, about the blue shield, the wall, the blue wall. A friend of mine, Michael, who may or may not be listening to this, I don't know, he and I haven't talked since this whole incident happened. He is an African-American male, and we argue about this constantly. He is taking the side of what's happening to black people is terrible, and I'm taking the side of, no, what's happening to people is terrible. You shouldn't have to throw black in there.
Yeah.
But he asked the question to me when I pointed out, you can't call all cops bad. There are some good cops. They should be held in a different regard than these guys, these bastards. Let's just call them that. And he said, I would take that more legitimately if the good cops didn't stand up for the bad cops. If the good cops spoke out against these bad cops instead of covering their ass. Like with Walter Scott, with the police officer that he dropped the taser and called it in and said he took my taser. The other cop saw this on the video, sees this, and doesn't say anything about it. You know?
Instead issues a warning to the officer that did wrong and says, if you ever do that shit again.
Yeah, but we don't know that he did that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, we can assume that, you know, if he was a good person, that he would have said, like, hey, don't do that again.
But
we don't know that's what happened.
And as far as I know, the officer in that case has not been, I haven't had an update on him in a while, so we don't know what's really going on with him.
I believe last I heard the proverbial hammer has fallen on him.
Which is good. I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, we talked about the digital age and how it's bringing to light all these terrible things that these bad cops are doing. And let's call them that, bad cops, because there is a difference between good cops and bad cops.
Absolutely.
Cops are people, and some people are bad.
Now,
therefore, some cops are bad.
And some cops are poorly trained. Now, there were six officers that were arrested for this particular incident. And, of course, two of them being the arresting officers, the rest had, you know, other things to do with it. But the one, let's talk about what happened to Freddie Gray when he got in that van. He was put in the van. He was not secured properly. And this is what killed him.
Yeah. Which is a department procedure and policy that is put in place for a reason.
Right.
And that is for the safety of the prisoner being transported. And that is where I draw the line of trying to give the benefit of the doubt to the officers involved.
So that's what I was going to ask you.
I have no more presumption of innocence on the part of these officers, because both their superiors, their department, and their city government have said, this was a mistake not to secure him in the back of this vehicle. And it was. It's department policy nationwide. If you transport someone in a vehicle of that sort, or pretty much of any sort, you secure them in the vehicle. They are in your custody. That means you are their custodian. Their life is in your hands the moment you arrest them. And these officers that put him in the back of this van and did not secure him, even if he was trying to hurt himself like this other prisoner claims now.
Right.
Even if he was trying to hurt himself, you know what you could have done to stop him doing that?
Restrained him.
Buckled him into the van.
Right.
The officers...
Which, I'm going to rewind to that point real quick.
Yeah,
does anybody else think it's a crock of shit that the other prisoner in the van that had no visibility of...
Yeah,
Freddie
I think
Gray,
the other prisoner might just be talking out of his ass.
Right.
Well,
had been coerced into it.
I think...
I don't know.
I don't have any evidence to think that it...
I don't have any evidence to consume coercion, so I'm not going to
No.
Oh, yeah, no. We can't actually apply it. I just, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you know, this is a show. I mean, we're here to give opinions.
Yeah.
I think that a lot of people involved with officer related killings lie. I think when, Darren Wilson shot, Michael Brown, that a lot of people lied.
They
did lie, and they said this is what happened, knowing that that's not what happened, but they were trying to lie to get whichever side you're on, justice for Darren Wilson or justice for Mike Brown. A lot of people lied, and I think a lot of people are lying in this case. The only thing that holds up in a court of law is evidence. And there is no evidence of any of this that they said. This is all hearsay and eyewitness testimony, but without the evidence to back it up. The only evidence that we have is what the medical examiner found out today and made a ruling on, was that he died from a broken neck from being slammed around in
the back of the van
because, like you said, they weren't secured.
And also, just to add to that, like, I don't know if you saw, but not only was he not secured, this is an issue that the Baltimore police has been having as well, the not securing prisoners in the back of a van. Not only are they doing that, but they drive what could politely be called recklessly to purposefully injure or cause discomfort to passengers in the back of that van.
Well, and that is yet another colossal mistake on the part of the officers.
Yeah, and this van made, I think, three stops. Freddie Gray had asked for an ambulance, had asked for medical attention multiple times, and was ignored. Just like Eric Garner was ignored when the cops were choking him, and he died from his injuries from that. As a police officer, when a suspect asks for help, do you ignore him because you've arrested him and you think he's just talking out of his ass? Or do you get him help regardless of what he's done because he asked for it?
It all depends on reasonability within the law, within the statutes. It depends on reasonability.
So if you don't believe him. Okay.
But if his claim is reasonable, there is a difference. There's a difference between strict legal reasonability and what an individual believes at any one moment. And that may sound confusing, but if I've got a suspect that I've arrested, and he's standing in front of me saying, I'm having a seizure, I'm having a seizure, and he's standing there, I'm having a seizure, take me to the hospital. My response to him is, you're going to jail. Stop trying to get out of it. If he's writhing on the ground twitching, I'm going to take him to the hospital or at least call an ambulance.
So in a case like Freddie Gray, I almost said Freddie Mercury, and I'm not trying to be funny. I'm really not, but I feel like I've almost done that multiple times, and I apologize. But in the case of Freddie Gray, where you haven't, or if it's not you, if it's another officer that hasn't buckled him improperly, and he says, I need medical attention, you get him medical attention if you've seen him bouncing around back and forth. But they had to have seen this.
So why did they ignore him? I don't know.
That's the question.
I don't have the facts.
Well, I mean, just.
Yeah, I honestly don't know. I've heard say of a lot of bitterness and complacency within the Baltimore Police Department due to all the violence, especially in the inner city, gang violence, that sort of thing. And that may have been it. It may have been something else. I don't know.
Well, here's what I don't understand when it comes to police officers and incidents like this is, you know, now that you're not going to get away with it. I think in the past couple of months and years and whatever, more and more it's become obvious that they're going to be held accountable for what they've done, or at least what they've done will be brought out to the light. Whereas before they could hide it, prisoner got roughed up, oh well, that's not happening anymore.
Yeah.
So why would they not secure the prisoner right? And I know you don't know because you weren't there, obviously.
Yeah, I don't have the facts, so I can't really speak to it. I can only conjecture.
In opinion, Jesse, what do you think? What goes through the mind of somebody if you're a cop and you know how the world works and you don't secure this prisoner, knowing he could get hurt, knowing you could get in trouble for it? Are you arrogant and you think, well, I'm a cop, I'm not going to get in trouble? Are you stupid and poorly trained? You know, what's your excuse?
I don't know. I have to think in that situation, at least part of their mentality is, well, if he dies, that's another one of these gang thugs off the street.
Right. No respect
because
for
them. They have zero respect for them because they have not only bought into, but helped build up the us versus them mentality in Baltimore.
Yeah.
Like,
and around
which
the country.
I've heard is a serious problem.
Around the country. It's a serious problem across the entire United States.
Yeah. As it is nationwide.
Obviously, some places are better than others. I feel like Cape Girardeau County doesn't have a big problem with us versus them with when it comes to police officers.
Not yet. No. But see, that's what I'm afraid of, is that with the protests that are happening all over the country, it's not just Baltimore. It's not just Ferguson. It's not just New York. It's becoming more and more. You hear about it, but you don't hear about it because the news puts it on, but only as a freak show. But to the people that are there that are doing this and the people around the country that are seeing this on TV and thinking, well, that is injustice. You know, they're going to start doing it more. This is going to start happening all over the place. And in Cape Girardeau, in a couple of months, we had protesters out here for Ferguson when that happened. We had people walking down the street. I saw them.
Right, yeah.
It's going to get worse, you know?
Well, like...
And should it get worse is the question.
Well, the benefit that we have is I think that we actually have a pretty solid police force in Cape County. Like, they're certainly guilty of profiling.
I have to jump in there. You may remember a couple of months ago... There was a series of murders in Cape Girardeau. There was probably, I don't have the exact data, but at least 4, 5, 6. And I think it happened in the span of about a month and a half. And I personally...
Yeah, it was like right before last 4th of July.
Yes, yes. Yeah. And I saw the police, you know, they increased the police coverage, but they didn't increase it in the areas where the murders took place. It's almost like the police, and this is just from what I saw, so maybe I'm wrong, but it looks like the police are containing this area in a bubble. And saying, we'll protect everyone outside of this area, but what happens in there, we're not going in there because we don't want to get hurt.
I mean, the police station in Cape Girardeau is in that bubble.
It's right over there. It's just down the street from us, yeah.
Yeah, and it's a block away from where a lot of this stuff was happening, like block, 2 blocks away.
And yet, how long has it been now? No arrests. No convictions. These murders still remain unsolved.
Several of them, yeah.
Yeah, and it's not like the criminals around here are... You know, gangsters from Chicago. I mean, these are local thugs who, if you can't catch local thugs.
Well, I mean, they can't be everywhere at all times. Like if they're going to have, cause these seemed more planned than,
like just executions, like, not
right.
Just random.
The killings that happened in Cave didn't really seem to be just, you know, disagreements or scuffles that happened between two people that resulted in a gunshot.
There was an agenda there.
Yeah, it seemed to me there was an agenda. They had planned for this to happen. So all they have to do is, like, cops going, Mr. Blue, back. I'm just to confirm or deny this for me. Like, cops have typical patrol routes, right?
They have typical patrol areas.
Area, yeah, yeah.
The routes we are trained to make unpredictable throughout the areas.
Right, that way somebody couldn't do, like, all right, they just passed here. They won't be back here for another 10 minutes.
Yeah. And far too many cops, I don't know the percentage, but I know it's some, and therefore too many, just take a planned route throughout their areas.
Right.
Or sit in a parking lot on their phone, which I've seen a dozen times. And I'm not trying to criticize all cops, don't get me wrong, but we've all seen the cops on their cell phones sitting in a parking lot, or you've seen two of them sitting in a parking lot together talking to each other when the high crime areas are just beyond them. It's 2 blocks that way. Why are you sitting here in a parking lot having a fucking conversation when you're on the clock? Now, it may be something important. It may be important stuff they're talking about. But at the same time, how often does it happen? How long do they sit there talking to each other?
How long do you see them?
I have...
For how long a period have you
watched? When I drive by, to be honest with you. And then that's the God's honest truth. So
6 seconds?
Yes, yes. And I could be wrong that they're not sitting there the whole time.
That's par for the course. To exchange information on calls that they've just received. This caller over here, this woman that's just called an intruder into her house, it's the 6th time this month she's called. She's obviously got something wrong with her, so try not to be so excited when she calls. Look out for this guy. I'm looking for this guy. Watch this area. There are conversations like this that happen I don't know how many times throughout a shift. I honestly couldn't count.
Plus, you really, with anybody that has a smartphone, can listen to the radio. They can listen to what the police officers are saying
or police
over their
scanner.
Radios.
Or, I mean, police, yeah.
Yes.
Well, yeah, but I mean, you don't even need a police scanner anymore. You used to, but you don't now.
There's an app for that.
Yeah, you can use, like, I can get on my phone right now and download a police scanner app and I can listen to all the chatter.
Now,
so, like, talking on phone and in person is more secure. Necessary.
Well, I was going to say, topic aside of what we're talking about here, you mentioned that, and that's, I think that's fascinating. Mr. Blue, to you especially, do you think that these apps and these police scanners should be available to the public where they can listen in on officers' conversations?
I think so.
Because if you're a suspect and you're listening to the police scanner, you know what they know.
I think it's the public's right to know what goes over police radio channels, unless it's an encrypted, extremely high security channel, like if they're about to do a house entry or something like that.
Right.
Which is, you don't pick that up on a scanner.
Plus, isn't that like just local band? Like,
yeah, it's shortwave. It's not. It doesn't. Right, like, it doesn't get picked up in scanner land.
Like 40-foot radius. Like not gonna 40.
I wouldn't say 40-50 feet, but I would say it's very local compared to other radios.
Right.
But it's the public's right to know what goes over police frequencies. It is, but sometimes it is necessary and crucial that police exchange information without the public being able to hear it, because some guy sitting at home planning to do some crime somewhere just says, okay, well, they just called 1023, which is I'm on scene at this location in the city, and there's two units there. So chances are pretty good that if I go to Y location in the city, I'm not going to run into any problems when I try to knock over this store. So it's important. It's a very fine line. It's a gray area, because I do believe the public should be able to hear, you know, the police band, because that's a public agency. They should know what's going on. But when someone's safety is in danger, no question, it should not be broadcast in that public of a way.
When they do meet and discuss things like this, is this recorded? Like, is this on? Do they let the dispatcher know where they're going to talk to who and how long they were talking to them?
Not usually. If it's a long, especially serious conversation, I would say they would go over the radio like, you know, dispatch, I'll be on scene here with the other unit for a couple minutes to talk about something if you need us. But if it's just an impromptu, like, hey, come over here, this is going on, that's going on, no, that wouldn't be recorded or anything like that.
Yes.
And honestly, whether it's recorded depends on the department, whether they have dash cams, body cams, microphones, that kind of thing.
Right. Which, now that you mention this, body cams, did the police officers in Baltimore have body cams?
I don't know.
I don't think they did.
No, I'm pretty certain they did.
If they did, that footage would be everywhere.
Well, they do have footage of it, because there was a guy that recorded it, and apparently he has been, allegedly, according to him, harassed by the police, and even though he's been cooperating with him, he was recently arrested at gunpoint. Now, I'm not sure what the charge was on that, but the conspiracy theory, of course, is that because he blew the whistle on what happened, you know, he recorded them dragging Freddie Gray into the van and arresting him, that he is now being persecuted for that, or possibly
well,
prosecuted.
Wasn't it it was a girl that knew Freddie that was recording it, wasn't it? Like the his
I'm not sure. Actually,
yelling,
I can.
His leg is broken.
I can look that up. I can look that up real quick, because
I don't know any of the facts surrounding this other arrest, so I can't speak to it.
No, it was a gentleman, Kevin Moore.
Okay. Because yeah. I was thinking, like, the video that I saw.
What was he charged with?
Well, it says on Wikipedia, which, I mean, you know, trust Wikipedia as much as you want to. It says he was arrested at gunpoint following harassment and intimidation by police, stated that he had cooperated with police and gave over his video of Gray's arrest for investigation, and claims that despite aiding in the investigation, his photo was made public by police for further questioning. He was later released from custody, but two other individuals were arrested along with Moore, remained in custody. So they don't really say what he was arrested for.
It's possible that he was detained for questioning.
Which is very different from being arrested.
Yes, right.
Yeah. Do you think this is one of those cases where, again, because he's involved with it directly, he's lying. He's making things up to...
I think that's utterly possible.
To further damn the police.
Because there's something about the wording on that excerpt from Wikipedia you just read. Sounds extremely one-sided.
Yeah.
He was arrested at gunpoint after repeated harassment by police. That's not how an unbiased documentarian writes something.
Right.
That is how somebody writes something that wants the police to be in more trouble. And even if that's the case, even if that's actually the case, that is not how a professional writes something. Right. I think you'll back me up on this being a journalist.
Yeah.
That is not journalistic language.
It is very one-sided. It sounds like someone with an agenda, yes. Like you said earlier.
That is not journalistic language that you just read.
But the agenda works. It works in inciting.
It definitely
people.
Works.
Yeah, and that's what I wanted to talk about next. Of course, you want to give the history on what happened to Freddie Gray. But when you're talking about this, I think the thing, Jesse, that sparked, because you brought this to me. I've been wanting to do a show on Baltimore. I didn't know how to go about it. And then you brought to me a bunch of pictures and video from the riots and from the looting that really opened my eyes up. And all of these lies and the waiting and the confusion on what happened to him, how did he die, what happened to him in police custody, has pretty much shut Baltimore down. I mean, Baltimore is a smoldering mess right now.
Well, they called state of emergency.
Yeah, and I think, I mean...
The National Guard is on site.
Right.
And believe what you want. I don't believe it myself, but I have heard rumors that they're going to declare martial law. Now, I highly doubt that.
Don't believe that.
I don't believe that either.
Sincerely doubt that's going to happen.
But I think this is worse than Ferguson. Ferguson is a small town. Well, I mean, it's in St. Louis. Yeah, it's
St. Louis. St. Louis.
But Baltimore is a whole different monster.
Is an entire metropolitan area.
This right. And this is how big these riots were. This is how impactful it is. We talked about this. The Orioles and White Sox game, the first game in Major League history in baseball, where they played to no crowd. The stadium was shut off from the general public because of the civic unrest in the city. Unheard of. How long has baseball been around? I mean, legitimately, you guys are sports guys. How long?
Well over 100 years.
And I am in no way a sports guy.
But in over 100 years, never has this happened before. You know, through, you know, the Rodney King beatings, through Martin Luther King assassination. Never has there been an incident that has caused so much civic unrest. Again, I say that term, that they've shut down a major league sporting event. And it's incredible. It's incredible.
I am sorry, Shannon, but I will place a lot of that blame on the news media.
Oh, I do too.
Because
no, absolutely.
If you look at the numbers, if you look at the statistics, everybody out there rioting, if they even know that something happened, if they're not just rioting to riot, if they even know that something happened, they'll tell you, well, it's an epidemic of police brutality in the country.
Right.
Numbers have gone way up, and police are being way more brutal than they ever were. And that's simply not the case. What's happening is that you're seeing more of it because the news media knows that it will get viewers.
Exactly.
Knows that it will rile people up and is reporting on every single incident of any note.
I will interrupt you there for a second. Like, it's not, like, the numbers have stayed the same. It's not just the media. The police are getting caught.
Yeah, the police are getting caught more is because technology has allowed them to be caught more.
Right.
Which I think is a good thing.
It is
more bad cops gone means more bad cops gone, which means my job gets better.
But here's my problem with that. My problem with that is, you say the media is looking for any excuse, and I agree with that. They're finding everything. But the only thing that sells right now is when black lives are lost. There was an incident that happened a couple days ago. I posted on my Facebook, and I wish I had the thing here so I could look at it, where there was a white guy who
I saw the story. It was the 19-year-old.
Yeah, answered the door. He had sent a picture of a gun to a girl and said, I'm going to hurt myself. So the girl called the cops to do a welfare check on him. They go to the door. He wakes his mother up and says, I think someone's trying to break in. I think someone's trying to get in. He grabs a gun to defend himself, opens the door. Cops shoot him dead immediately.
He's
the story from the mother.
Hmm. He's stable.
No, he's dead.
Last I heard, he was stable.
He is deceased.
He's gone.
No. Oh.
Yeah, he's killed. He's gone. But do you know what CNN and the rest of these channels aren't picking up is this story, because it doesn't sell as much when a white kid gets shot by white cops versus when a black guy gets shot by white cops.
Yes. In cases like this, I find that the police officers involved, whether it was a justified incident or a non-justified incident of violence, the police do not get the presumption of innocence in these cases. Not in the case, not in terms of media and the public eye.
It's a witch hunt.
If the news media reports African American person shot by police officer, the police officer is automatically in the wrong.
Even though
a grand jury, I think three grand juries actually, if I'm not mistaken, acquitted Darren Wilson of every charge leveled against him.
Yep.
Three grand juries of his peers said that his was a righteous and a justified shooting of Michael Brown. And yet he is still the devil.
If it was just Darren Wilson, I would agree with that. But now you've got the police officer that blatantly shot Walter Scott in the back as he ran.
Yeah.
You've got the cops that didn't secure Freddie Gray down, and he's dead from that. So I would not go as far as to say there isn't a problem.
Oh, no, no, no.
Because there is a problem.
There is a problem. There's always a problem because police are humans. And it's sad to say, but these things happen. They happen every day. They happen across the country. And it's the job of me and every other cop who actually gives a damn about what we do to get rid of the officers involved, to get rid of the officers who are okay with this sort of thing. It's an ongoing process, but we have made progress in the past. It just doesn't seem that way because the news wants ratings.
Honestly, until the blue shield goes away or the blue wall or whatever you want to call it, until that goes away, it's never going to not be a problem.
Oh, I agree with you. There will always be a sense of camaraderie and a sense of loyalty between police. I would kill or die to protect the lives of any of my fellow officers.
But not a bad cop.
A bad cop.
Even if you knew he was a dirty cop, you wouldn't protect him.
If I knew he was a dirty cop and somebody was trying to take his life unjustly, I would kill for him.
But if he was a dirty cop, you would turn him in, wouldn't you?
Yes.
Okay.
If he did something wrong, pardon my French. Okay. Police. I'm saying this to every police officer that hears this recording, if any of you do. You are my family. You are my brothers and my sisters. I would kill or die to protect your life if someone tried to take it. But if you fuck up, I am no longer on your side. You have broken the oath that you took. You have betrayed everything that we try to uphold. And, Shannon, how many police officers were injured or killed as acts of purported revenge for Michael Brown?
Quite a few.
And now, so I say to the officers involved in the Baltimore incident, in the death of Freddie Gray, how many of your brothers and sisters do you think you just injured or killed? I hope none. Because A, that's a cop that's going to lose their life for no damn reason. And B, because you are going to have to live with that person's face tattooed onto the back of your eyelids for the rest of your goddamn lives. And you have fucked up. You have broken policy. You have broken procedure that is put there for a reason. And you should be ashamed of yourself because I'm not giving you the benefit of a doubt at this point. Your department, your superiors, your city government have all said that you fucked up. And so I'm ashamed of you. And you are not making anything any damn better for any of your brothers or sisters nationwide.
I think there were 15 officers the very first night, or maybe not the very first night, 15 officers that were injured in one night of riots. I believe 6 of which are in critical condition.
6 officers who might die because 6 other officers were complacent and did not give a damn.
And, you know,
it disgusts me.
Switching off of the police, taking police out of this for right now, the people that are, and my message, you know what, we have a testimony. I want to give a testimonial, too, to the people that are looting and rioting out there. And
they're not making anything any better either.
You're not making anything better. You're destroying innocent lives. You don't even... With Michael Brown, at least you had the air of "we want justice." That was the slogan. That was the propaganda. We want justice. Justice for Mike Brown. With this, there is no justice for Freddie Gray. They've already arrested the police officers. They're going to be tried, and they're going to have a fair trial. But the people that are looting and rioting, that are destroying innocent lives, in what way are you getting justice for anybody? And how many other Freddie Grays are you creating by destroying your own community? And how far back are you setting race relations with everybody when you destroy and loot from innocent people who did nothing to Freddie Gray? What goes through the mind of a looter when they burn down a store, when they try to kill the gentleman you sent me, Jesse, the pizzeria owner, when they try to burn him? For what reason?
Yeah, that was heart-wrenching.
It was.
Like, that video was just terrible.
What sense does it make? You know, We can't speak from, I can't speak from the angle of the police officers involved because I'm not a police officer. The only one here that's even remotely experienced enough to speak on behalf of them is Mr. Blue. But as a person, as someone that sees injustice every day when I turn on the TV or when I walk down the street, because I mean, there's injustice everywhere. You know, what are you trying to accomplish by embarrassing yourself, and not just embarrassing yourself, embarrassing your city, embarrassing humanity, but by also taking away from the message of justice for Freddie Gray, that these protesters, and there are good protesters who are trying to get justice for everybody, and no one's even talking about them anymore because they want to talk about the people that are burning down the city because that makes for a better show. You've taken away from them too.
Yeah, and I will say, like, definitely to add to that, like, last I saw the numbers, like, peaceful protesters to rioters and looters, like, it was almost 4-1, like, outnumbering. Like, there's so many more peaceful protesters, and then, like, one of the other really inspirational images that I saw that sort of restores a little bit of faith in the people of Baltimore that I know I sent to you, the lineup of the peaceful protesters protecting the police officers.
Yes.
That were
yes.
trying to uphold order from, you know, the rioters and the looters and trying to help people.
Well, and not- the really life-affirming thing that I saw in that photo, I don't know which particular photo you saw, but in the photo I saw, the really, really humanity-affirming thing that made me believe in my fellow man again.
The little kid with the bottles of water?
The little kid with the bottles of water is one. But the other is the picture that I saw, the line of peaceful protesters protecting the police from the rioters, putting their lives on the line when it should be ours.
Well, yeah, that's the image that I was talking about.
When it should be ours is, I don't know which particular lineup you saw, but the one I saw was predominantly African American protecting police. And that made me feel so good.
Yeah.
Because there are these people who nobody asked to do anything. And there they are, putting themselves between us and death when it should be the other way around. That gets me.
Not only
for reasons
that
I won't discuss on the show because they're too personal.
Well, we've also seen people cleaning up after the rioters, black, yeah. white. They're cleaning up the destruction caused by these idiots, by these they're less than human. I would put them, would I put them in the same group as police officers that kill innocent people? Probably not. They haven't killed anybody, but they've destroyed lives just the same. And when these people who are trying to protest and trying to get justice are out there cleaning up the mess you've caused and cleaning up the burning buildings and the destroyed cars while you make off and you're taking selfie pictures while you're robbing places and posting them, you're scum. I don't care what anyone out there says, and I'm going to get flack for this from a lot of people I know who say, I don't understand because I'm not black. I can't understand what they're going through. You don't know what these rioters are doing, what they're going through. They're not going through anything. They don't give a shit about Freddie Gray, and they don't give a damn about his message. They see an opportunity to cause chaos and civic unrest, and they're taking it because they're less than human. They are the type of stereotypical scum that we all hate. White, black, it doesn't matter. They're the lowest common denominator when it comes to the human race, and they're out there fucking things up for no other reason than they see an opportunity to fuck things up. And it sickens me.
I will say that the bulk of the rioters, or at least a generous portion of them, are probably that. But the other portion are actually people that are in support and think they are helping the cause of Freddie Gray. The thing is, they are teenagers
yeah.
that are terrified by the police. They have grown up their entire lives
being
watching
told.
Friends, neighbors, people they associate with daily getting pistol whipped,
yeah.
getting loaded into vans, being treated unjustly by the Baltimore police. Like, these are kids that have grown up their entire lives seeing these injustices, and at this point, they're just pissed. So, whoever started the riots, whether it be opportunistic bastards, or confused teenagers, or just pissed off people, a lot of these people got into it because they don't know what else to do.
Their voice isn't being heard otherwise.
Their voice is not being heard. That was a quote from Martin Luther King, like, I don't know the exact quote. But it's rioting is the message of the unheard. It's the cry of the people that are not being listened to.
Cry of the voiceless, I think.
That sounds better than what I'm saying, certainly, even if it's not the actual quote. I don't know. I'd have to look it up. I had it before. But the point is, a lot of the rioters are pissed off, confused teenagers that have been scared of the police their entire lives
yeah.
and view this as a way of getting back. I'm not saying they're right.
No. No.
Not at all. Well, but, like, and I guess I'm not trying to defend them, but I am kind of defending some of them, because they're not all opportunistic bastards. They're just looking at this like, this is the only way I'm going to get my voice heard, not realizing that there are peaceful protesters that are having their voices heard.
Were.
The mayor has said, yeah, it worked.
Were having their voices heard.
Yeah, well, yeah, it definitely didn't help after the riots. But, I mean, the mayor said they were on their side. Like, everybody's on their side. They're trying to get it dealt with. But, I mean, early on before the riots started, there was no telling. Like, you know, going by past experiences, things weren't going to go their way. Like, it was all going to get brushed under the rug. The police were going to get off scot-free. And Freddie Gray was going to be dead for no reason.
Well, you know, one of the most iconic moments that's going to come out of this, I think, is the video you sent me, which has gone viral worldwide now, of the mother chasing down her teenage son and beating him and saying, you want to be a man? You know, he's wearing a mask. He's got a backpack. I think there are two types of people that are involved with these riots. There are the ones throwing stones at police officers because they're angry and they're burning down the city. And there are others who, while they're burning down the city, and these guys aren't right in burning down the city, because again, you're hurting innocent people.
Right, right.
You are hurting people because you were hurt, which is not right. Two wrongs do not make a right.
Exactly.
But while they're doing this, then the opportunity, you know, the
yeah, there are the opportunistic people that are, they see.
And while they're throwing those rocks, they're breaking into windows.
They
and like
see
I said,
opportunity
yeah,
and chaos.
They're taking pictures of themselves taking TVs. There is no justice in taking a television from a store that will probably go out of business because you've ruined them financially because of what you've done.
Right.
How many lives have you ruined because somebody else's life got ruined? And these are the same people that during the funeral for Freddie Gray, the family, all they asked is peace on today. Give us peace because we're burying our child. And they wouldn't even do it. They burned the city more. They rioted. They looted. This is the first time I can remember, Ferguson included, where the family and the community leaders have all spoken out against the people rioting and looting as vocally as they have. Obviously, in Ferguson, the family of Michael Brown said, we don't want this. But they did not come out and condemn these people for what they were doing. These community leaders have condemned these rioters and said, you are not a part of what we are doing.
Well, to be fair, like, I think it was the Michael stepdad Brown's Michael stepdad. Brown was caught on film saying, burn this mother down.
Yeah, he incited the riots. Yeah. 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 And it's different for this. This is the first time. I think something's changing. And it needs to be changed.
I think society as a whole is getting tired of it.
Of everything.
And wants people to start treating people like people. Absolutely. Whether they're cops, whether they're white, black, Hispanic, I don't care. If you can understand what I'm saying right now, you meet two criteria. You speak English, and you're a human goddamn being, and that's all that matters.
Yeah.
Well, not that you speak English, you're a human being.
Sorry. I hate the slogan, Black Lives Matter. I want to throw this out there. And I'm sorry to Michael and to all my friends who are going to be offended by this. I hate the slogan, Black Lives Matter, and they're going to argue with me on this, but I think when you say that, you're insinuating that only black lives matter, or that it's only a problem if police are brutal to black people. Police have been brutal to people for as long as there have been police. And generally, they have been brutal to poor people. Not black people. Not white people. Poor people. People that don't have the resources to fight back against a corrupt government. If you're a rich black person, you're probably not getting beaten by cops and thrown in the back of a police van for no reason. If you're a poor kid out there just trying to survive, every time you walk by the cops, you are a possible suspect because of where you're from, because of how you were raised. And sometimes it's justified because there are a lot of people who are born like that and have a chip on their shoulder and will break the law, and they should be checked out. They should be questioned. You may get offended every time someone stops you and say, hey, what are you doing? But the reason they're doing that is because they're trying to protect everybody else. It's nothing against you personally, in most cases. Some cases, obviously, it is. Mm. But when I get stopped by the police, and it's just a check, and they go, do you have your license and registration? I don't get pissed. I know they're trying to do their job. When they have a drunk check for make sure people aren't drinking and driving, I don't get pissed and go, why are you fucking with me? I know they're trying to protect me from other people on the road that are driving drunk and could possibly kill me. Jesse, we had a customer, not a friend, but someone we knew, who died from a drunk driving accident a little while back. She's gone.
Right.
You know? So yeah. I don't understand how it's so hard for people to understand that when police do this, it's not because they hate you. It's because they're trying to protect you from other people out there that are doing wrong.
I will say, like, I don't stand by profiling.
No,
like,
neither do I.
Drunk checkpoints are fine, but I remember, I've told you the story a few times before. I used to drive this super shitty Oldsmobile Delta Royale road yacht. The thing was rusted out, like it was a soft top, looked like it, you know, cats had been fighting on top of it for days. I got pulled over in that car. I only had the car for 8 months. I got pulled over 7 times for no reason. I got patted down twice. I was a 17-year-old white kid driving through, like, the nicer areas of Cape to get to my home where I live with my parents. And I kept getting pulled over. And then, like I said, twice, asked to get out of the car and got patted down. Because they suspected me of doing something because of the car I drove.
Yeah. I myself, growing up in Mound City, Illinois, had been pulled over many times. And I was with my friend Chad once, who was black. Who is black, I should say. And he was pulled over and actually arrested because his name was Chad Michael Green. There was another black man named Michael Green that had a warrant. And they just assumed he was the same guy. And he was arrested for that. And I believe a lot of people got in trouble for that because his mom raised hell, as she should have.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
In my usual capacity of raising the benefit of the doubt for the officers involved in any kind of controversial case, police don't arrest people on a warrant based on assumption. They base warrant arrests on what the computer tells them. They put in the name. They get a name back that says wanted. They make the arrest. A friend of mine, whose name I won't mention on the air because he didn't give me permission to, he was arrested once because there was another man with his same name from the same area that was arrested. I think that it's not entirely fair to say that your friend was arrested because the officers assumed he was the same guy they were looking for. Because if they were looking for one particular guy, they know what he looked like. And warrant arrests on traffic stops are made based on the warrant computer check system. And if they got an erroneous result back from the computers, that's bad, of course. But there are errors sometimes. And I'm sure he was released without charges.
Does it state age?
It depends on the warrant, I believe.
Because I believe the gentleman that they were looking for was much older than my friend, who at the time we were in our late teens.
Hmm.
You know, like you said, I don't know the system.
I believe it depends on the specific warrant. Some warrants may be as vague as name, sex, race, and state of origin.
So I would assume it would depend on the information gathered at the time. It would depend. Like a driver's license.
Yeah, they may have just taken down his name.
We know this guy's Michael
Green.
How did they
gather his information on the stop? Do you remember?
License? Yeah.
They must not have run it by license number, then. Run it by name and date of birth, because your friend and the man that was actually wanted, I'll bet their driver's license numbers are completely different.
Yeah, I would assume so, and I think that's where a lot of
I would say that they ran his license by name and date of birth, which you can do either are equally
If you're going to bring effective. Somebody in, though, you would want to have all of the proof that that's the same person possible. Like, if there was a guy out there who had a warrant out for, and his name was Lee Young, mm-hmm. and they pulled me over and saw my name was Shannon Lee Young, and then they took me in just because they ran my name and it was similar enough to this guy.
Not because it was similar enough, because it received a positive hit on the statewide computer system.
Because, I mean, I feel like, well, a warrant doesn't necessarily have to have. Like, my understanding is you can put out a warrant for an arrest for a person by the name of Michael Green, black, approximately this tall.
In association with this charge, with this report number.
Right, and it has no other information on there at all. So if they looked at your friend Chad, like, they may have seen, like, oh, well, like, all the information they had from your, like, all the information that the warrant system had. Like, which was basically name and color.
I was going to say, if that is your criteria for taking people in, is a similar name and the fact that they're both the same race, that seems to me like that is just stereotyping and
That's not completely an accurate assessment of how that particular process works.
Now, this was also 10-plus years ago. Has the system changed since then?
It's become more automated, more computerized.
Oh,
but
good.
It's the same.
Oh, good. Yeah, computers.
It's the same system. Yes, it's still.
Since we're on the topic of names,
it depends on the state, I believe.
I do want to mention this because I know we hinted at this earlier about the six officers were arrested. They were arrested today. I have to mention this because this is vital, and I want to get your opinion on this, Mr. Blue.
Yes.
I'm going to go over the names of the officers and everything they were charged with.
Yes.
And I want to get your reaction to this.
Yes.
Officer Caesar R. Goodson Jr. Was arrested for second degree depraved heart murder, which I had to look that up, and let me clarify that for.
That's not a statute that exists in either of the states in which I'm certified. You're gonna have to clear me up on that.
Okay, here we go. Heart murder, I think, is just another term for, depraved indifference. I don't know why they labeled it as heart murder and not depraved indifference, but.
I believe the phrasing in my two states is, negligent manslaughter.
He was also arrested for second degree assault, manslaughter by vehicle, manslaughter by, for gross negligence, manslaughter by vehicle for criminal negligence, and misconduct in office. Officer William G. Porter, involuntary manslaughter, second degree assault, misconduct in office.
Lieutenant, so involuntary manslaughter and depraved heart murder are two different statutes, two different offenses.
Yes, because the.
What is the latter? What is depraved heart murder? Read the statute.
All right, hold on. I got you right here. See, ignoring it. Depraved difference to human life and resulting in death is considered to have been committed with malice aforethought, aka premeditation.
So
in most states, depraved heart killings constitute second degree murder.
So what I would take that as is in where involuntary manslaughter is the result, a death resulted because of an action of yours, but possibly it was an accident. Depraved indifference would be when you knew it could kill him and you didn't care.
Right. Yeah. You took no action to stop, or you knew that they could die. And you took no action to stop it from happening.
Right. We also have Lieutenant Brian Rice for involuntary manslaughter, two counts of second degree assault, manslaughter by vehicle, gross negligence, two counts of misconduct in office, and false imprisonment. Officer Edward Nero, two counts of second degree assault, manslaughter by vehicle, gross negligence, two counts of misconduct in office, false imprisonment. Officer Garrett Miller, two counts of second degree assault, two counts of misconduct in office, false imprisonment. And Sergeant Alicia White, involuntary manslaughter, second degree assault, and misconduct. I do want to point out that these officers, range from, I think, 25 to 45. And they range from 18 years on the force all the way down to 5 years on the force. Mm. And 3 years on the force in the case of Officer Nero. So you have a wide range of people who have been there and know what they should be doing and screwed up because, according to the charges, because they didn't care. And you have other officers who are relatively new. And, you know, if you've been on the force for 3 years and an officer that's been on there for 18 years says, do this, do you do it without question because they told you to, or do you question it if you feel it's not right?
If I feel that it's not right and it is not legal and it is not, like, lawful, then an officer has no obligation to follow the orders of a commanding officer if their orders are unlawful or unethical. Now, if an inferior officer follows the commands of a superior officer and reasonably believes the commands to be ethical, to be legal, to be lawful, then they are protected by something called good faith. They are doing their job as they see that they should. They do not know all of the facts. There's something that they don't know that would have reasonably prevented them from following the order. Now, are you asking me if I agree with all of the charges for all the officers?
Do you agree with the charges?
I don't have all the facts. But with my evidence, the evidence that I have, the things that I have heard, not just the rumors, not just the screams, not just the arguments, but the things that I know, the things that have been found out by the investigation, the evidence, which cannot lie, has not told me that there was any malice. The only thing that I can reasonably suspect the officers involved of, yes, the only wrongdoing of which I can accuse the officers involved is negligence, complacency, and just a basic lack of consideration, which resulted in the loss of someone's life. I don't think they tried to kill him. I just think they maybe didn't care.
Do you think these charges, like the thing we talked about earlier, do you think these charges are political?
I think that some of the charges are political, such as the false imprisonment. The false imprisonment.
Well, I think
that comes
from them declaring that his arrest was legal. Like we said earlier, you said that it was a good arrest. You thought it was a good arrest.
Yes. Presented with the facts that I have, it was a good arrest. I might be wrong, because I don't know everything.
Well, but I want to point out.
Prevented with the facts that I've had with the reports that have been publicized, that I've seen and I've read with my own eyes, it was a good arrest.
The mayor of Baltimore, Stephanie Rawlings Blake, she came out today and said that there was no place in the Baltimore Police Department for those police officers who, quote, choose to engage in violence, brutality, racism, and brutality twice. I don't know if that's just a Wikipedia problem or if she actually said that. I'm not sure. But in stark contrast to this, the president of the police union chapter in Baltimore, Gene Ryan, said that despite the tragic situation, quote, none of the officers involved are responsible for the death of Mr. Gray. You disagree with that?
Absolutely.
Yes.
And I
disagree with that because, and I believe that maybe he has to say that because he's the police union representative.
The blue wall.
Right.
It's the legal representation of the blue wall. He's obligated to not condemn any of the officers under his purview until they are convicted. Because he's a union representative. He has to be on their side.
Like a public defender?
Yeah. He has to be. Basically, it's the same nature of obligation. He has to be on their side. He has to put on this public face, even if he doesn't believe it, that they did nothing wrong. Because right. It might turn out that they did nothing wrong. I don't think that that's likely.
Yeah, you never want to admit fault until...
Well,
yeah. A union representative will never admit the fault of anyone under his purview unless they are absolutely positively
right.
100% done investigating.
Well, because then
he can be found just to be, derelict in his duties as a union representative.
Back a long time ago, we used to have a saying in this country that you were innocent until proven guilty.
Yeah.
Which is a saying that I think has gone the wayside of witch hunts.
Yeah.
I do want to end on this, because it's been a fascinating discussion.
Actually, if we could rewind a little bit.
Sure, go ahead.
There's something I want to discuss before. Now, you said you believe that there was no malice involved in that whole situation, correct?
Yes, as I understand the word malice. By looking at your tablet, you're about to correct me on the definition of malice.
I wanted to make sure that I understood the definition of malice before I wanted to say anything.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, malice is an intent to do someone harm, an intent to cause injury.
Yeah.
Now, you believe that by not securing them and driving recklessly, that wasn't malice?
No. I think it was complacency. I think it was apathy.
I would like to interject and say I do believe there is a difference between
because it would not
knowing
be...
you're hurting someone and hurt, you know, wanting and to hurt someone it... and ignoring their pain. I think there's a difference.
I think by not because securing them and then by driving recklessly, they wanted to cause injury. That was their intention, was to hurt him.
The question I have in response to that is what benefit would they get? If they are the kind of officer that has been reputed to belong to the Baltimore Police Department, if they are the officers with the kinds of problems that the Baltimore Police Department has been plagued with for so long, they want to get him to the station, get him booked, and go home. They don't want to hurt him. They don't want to kill him because they know that just makes their jobs more complicated.
Yeah, and I think you said it earlier, though.
To use the old term, it's more paperwork, and I think paperwork is something that they were trying to just rush through as fast as possible. They were trying to just get him processed and go home as soon as possible.
But you yourself
which
said...
Which caused him to die.
You said cops are human.
Cops are human, yeah.
Cops are human. So if Freddie Gray, let's say when they first arrest him, he's fighting back, he's mm-hmm. smarting off to him, they have a bad day, they're human.
Yeah.
They put him in, they don't care if he gets hurt. It's just like
that's what the fact is I have them would suggest.
Well, see, like to me, by not caring if he gets hurt or not and doing something that you know could cause him to get hurt, that is by definition malice. You are trying to hurt them by not stopping them from being hurt.
You see, it's I think of malice in a different way. I think that the harm that they knew was going on in their that they knew was going to come to him in their minds was a byproduct that they weren't concerned with.
And I'm trying to think of an example here. And Jesse, if I'm wrong on this, you know, like, let me know.
Let's say I'm on a four-wheeler. I'm on a quad bike.
Oh, I had an example too.
And I'm trying to get from one end of the room, to the other. And I just want that more than anything in the world. And you're standing in the middle of the room. And I run you over to get to my destination. I don't want to run you over. I just don't mind that I do. And I think that's what was going on, based on what I know.
I feel like that's a completely unrelated scenario. Like, okay. I feel like that analogy does not apply.
All right, go on.
Because they're supposed to, like, strapping him in would have taken them an extra 30 seconds.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Mm-hmm.
They purposefully did not strap him in, as they've done so many times before. Purposefully did not strap him in and purposefully drove like assholes.
Well,
to injure Freddie Gray.
We have to put a disclaimer out that we don't know that. We don't know that it was on purpose. It could it have been negligence. Like they said, could these cops be poorly trained? Did someone fuck up?
Well, I think the difference that we might be having is that I think they might have just gone, screw it, chuck him in there and get him back to the office. And you're thinking that their mindset would have been, chuck him in there and drive a little crazy. That'll teach him.
And we don't know which was right.
And we don't know what was going through the minds of the officer.
Now, the analogy
they actually had to assist him into the vehicle. They couldn't just toss him in there. His leg was broken going into the vehicle.
Yeah.
Like, they put him in there. They set him in there.
Yeah.
You have a person on the force, you said, for 18 years was the most, 3 years was the minimum, correct? Yeah,
but I do want to point out that I don't know which one was in the van with him.
Oh, I mean, it's irrelevant. 3 years? In 3 years, you know to strap someone in.
That's completely true.
Like, I mean, like, look at it in the case of, like, that's like me, that's like you here at Gaming Grounds, having worked here for as long as you have, or having worked in the video game business for as long as you have, selling someone an Xbox Live card for their PlayStation 4.
Yeah, but could it also be, I worked at GameStop for 4.5 years. I locked the door every night. Have I ever forgot to lock the door after 4 years? I did. So is an officer who straps somebody in every other day, every 2 days, every week, could they forget to strap someone in once? It's possible.
I feel like it's a different scenario.
I feel like our disagreement might be one of motive.
Well, the motive is what's behind this. The motive? Was there a motive, or was it just
they did something bad?
Honestly, if this had been the first time that someone had been injured in the back of one of those vans, then I would say absolutely, like, it was just negligence. It was, you know, not on purpose, like, it happened, they were in a hurry to get home or whatever. But this has happened several times. Like, this is nowhere near the first time. They've gotten in trouble, several officers have been suspended or let go in Baltimore.
But I still feel like I kind of see where Blue is coming from, where if you are about to walk onto an elevator that I know is broken, and if you step on it, you will crash and die. And is there a difference of I don't stop you because I don't care, or I don't stop you because I want you to die? Because malice to me is when I know you're going to get on there and I want you to fall and die, versus I know you're going to get on there and die and I just don't care if you do. And if I'm wrong, if that's a bad analogy, please tell me. But I think I see where Mr. Blue is coming from, in the sense that did these cops know this would kill him and went, okay, if he dies, whatever? Or did they I want him to die?
That's the thing. Malice is not killing.
Malice is wanting bad things to happen to someone.
Wanting injury.
Yeah. But there's a difference between wanting and not caring if it happens.
And see, like, I see where you guys are coming from. Yeah. I do.
And
like,
I see where you're coming from. I just want to put it out there for everybody that knows.
And I just want to say, like, we can argue about this. Well, not argue, but we can bat this back and forth between two of us all night for as many nights as you want. It's fine by me. But we'll never know, because the question that we're debating is what was going on inside of another human being's brain.
Right. And that's...
And we'll never know for sure.
Well, to me, like I said, this is the last thing I'm going to say on it.
Yeah.
You had six individuals. The newest of the bunch had been there for 3 years.
Experienced.
Like, they knew what they were doing.
Right.
Like, in the case of you unlocking the door, we'll go ahead and go back to that one. Has there ever been a time where you were closing with two people and the door remained unlocked?
You're asking me to remember. I've got a bad memory. I want to say yes, but I honestly don't know. I don't know.
I worked at several restaurants before and closed up where we've closed with three or four people and the doors remain unlocked.
Well, it depends on like, well, in that scenario though,
yes.
I'm assuming only one person's responsibility was to lock the door, correct?
Yeah.
And now in this arrest.
Yeah.
Would it have been the responsibility of only one person of the six to make sure he was strapped in? Or would it, because two people loaded him in there.
I'd say it would be the responsibility of the ranking officer of the two that actually strapped him into the van to make sure he was secured.
And not all six officers were back there strapping him in.
Right.
We
no, that's what I'm
that.
Saying. Like the two people that strapped him in. Because this is the scenario that I'm talking about here, is that there are two people. The odds of both of them forgetting to right. strap someone in. Like one person I could kind of see. Like you said, you worked at GameStop for a long. I even did it once. I left a door unlocked. It happens. But never has there been a situation where there have been two people whose responsibility to lock the door, whose responsibility to lock up, like here at Gaming Grounds. Like, I frequently leave with another key holder. The door is always locked whenever there are two people gone. The only time a door is ever left unlocked is when there's only been one person whose responsibility was to lock the door.
I'm going to have to call you out on that. I think there have been times where we've stayed late for Destiny, you and another key holder and another person, and when everybody leaves at the same time, the door has been unlocked. Now, it wasn't a door that you opened, but it has remained unlocked when they leave. So if one person who's putting someone in doesn't do their job and the other person doesn't check it.
Well, there's a difference between checking and being right there to do it.
One thing we're also not taking into account is the interpersonal relationships of the officer securing him or not securing him into the back of the van. If the commanding officer of the two was, I don't know, like an imposing person, just a person that
bossing
did not
people around.
Yeah. That well, did I mean, not like that did not like to take critiques or tips from his subordinates, then the subordinate probably would have just, well, he didn't tell me to strap the guy in, so I'm just not going to question.
Well, I guess we've oh hold on, we can settle this here real quick, just because
yeah.
Like the big thing that we keep coming back to is that we weren't there, we don't have the evidence. There's a lot of stuff that we don't know.
Yeah. Right.
With the evidence that they had and everything they came to, they charged them.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really a moot point on our part because they know stuff that we don't.
Unless you count it as a political movement as opposed to a legitimate arrest. But that's – and that's actually – we could talk about this all night. We've gone about 12 minutes there on this.
Like that was the second
What was
the
question?
Do I think it was political?
Yes.
Not entirely. I think that it was a message. Like it was a we are cracking down on this, which
I
is
agree.
Less a political movement and more a police officers get your shit together. We're not going to let this fly anymore.
Unless
– yeah.
If they hadn't been caught, would they have the same message?
What do you mean?
If there was no video, if they didn't get it on video, if it wasn't brought out, if the city wasn't going crazy because of what happened, would the same message have been said?
Well,
or would these cops have gotten away with it?
Had that not happened, there wouldn't have been irrefutable evidence that it happened. Like that's,
and then you go back to the cops involved with it, don't speak out against each other.
Exactly.
Then the veil of secrecy is thrown right back on.
Right.
And then there's no justice for anybody.
So basically, like, in that scenario where they didn't get caught, there was no way to provide or to send this message because they couldn't legally do it. Because they have no evidence, they have no justifiable reason for doing it.
Unless one cop turns evidence on the other.
Exactly. And as we've talked about, it just doesn't happen.
Right. And
it happens all too infrequently.
Right.
Correct.
There are good cops.
I'll rephrase that. All too infrequently.
Yeah.
Because it happens at all, it happens
all too infrequently.
Right. Because there are good cops who will not turn a blind eye when another cop does something wrong.
Right.
Because, as Mr. Blue stated, when it comes to police officers, there are the cops that don't stand for injustice. Because when you sign up to be a police officer, you don't sign up to bully people around and to impose your will on others. You do it to protect and serve.
Well, that's the thing. I think the bad cops actually do sign up to impose their will.
Well, that, well that's what I'm saying. Yeah. But the good because cops call them out on it.
Because there are any that do that, there are far too many.
Now, exactly. I do want to end on this. I want to ask you guys point blank, both of you. Mr. Blue, I'll start with you. With the charges that have been brought against these cops, do you think this will silence, or not silence, that's a bad word, that's a bad word to use. Will this calm the city of Baltimore? Do you think this is enough for the people that are asking for justice? And if they are found not guilty, do you think the city will burn?
The first part of the question, do I think that it will?
Will it appease them?
Do I think that it will appease the reasonable protesters?
Yes.
Yes. If they are reasonable, it will appease them because the officers involved have been charged. And if they're convicted, they're convicted. If they're not convicted, then they're not. And that's what I'm going to go by because I'm a part of the American justice system. And if a jury says that you're not guilty, you're not guilty.
But you would admit that justice is flawed.
Justice is flawed, yes. But I'm one man. It's not my place to say X jury was right. I think we should change that. Y jury was wrong. I think we shouldn't change that. That kind of thing. Or right. Strike that, reverse it. What was the second part of the question?
If the officers are found not guilty.
If the officers are found not guilty.
Do you think that it will be the worst riot that we've ever seen in this country?
I believe that it will be among the top five at least. Because it just seems to be such a clear case.
Right.
And people are so angry. And even if they truly are not guilty of anything, which the evidence would suggest they are, but even if they are innocent of the charges leveled against them, if they're not convicted, there's going to be hell.
Yeah.
Because there are the reasonable protesters, and there are the opportunists who loot stores and steal televisions, and then there are the ones in the middle. And they are angry enough to do anything.
Jesse, same question.
I do think that the protesters will only be appeased if they are guilty, like if they are found guilty. If they are found innocent, the justice system has failed. I'm going to disagree with Mr. Blue because by his logic, O.J. Simpson didn't murder his family.
That's a very fair point.
So, if they are found not guilty, the justice system has failed.
It's possible I phrased that incorrectly.
I think that's an unfair statement. You can't say before trial that if this person isn't found guilty, they're wrong.
The evidence is overwhelming.
The only evidence they have is the guy died in the back of the car.
Because at the very least, due to negligence.
I will agree with that. But yeah. If they are convicted of just negligence, which I don't know what the penalty for that is.
Just negligent homicide.
Just look, negligent.
I don't know what it is in Maryland.
Yeah.
That was the thing, though. Like, they aren't being tried for intentionally murdering him. They're being tried for knowing he could be killed and not doing anything to stop it.
Do you think that's enough?
What do you mean?
Well, for the people that are rioting, do you think that's enough for them?
I mean, that's what it is. Like,
no, they say he was murdered by the police. Let's be honest. And I'm going to go off on a rant just real quick, I promise. Okay, the people that are after these cops don't want them arrested for negligent homicide. They don't want him arrested for involuntary manslaughter. They are of the belief, and especially the dumb people that don't know how the law system works, they believe the police murdered Freddie Gray. And if they are convicted of anything other than murder, I don't think that they'll be appeased. Well, I think that they'll be happy with that.
Well, I feel like by calling it depraved heart murder, which is what they were calling it, like that puts the word murder in it.
Yeah.
And I think that will help. I mean, obviously people are going to be pissed, like, whether they're going to be pissed or not. But the point is, like, the protesters, I believe, will be satisfied when they are tried and found guilty for their crimes. Because let's call it what it is.
Crimes.
It was a criminal action done by these six officers.
Yes.
That's like, that is 100% fact.
By the letter of the law, they broke it.
Correct. So I feel like the protesters will be satisfied, at least for now.
The reasonable ones.
Until, like, shit comes up again. The protesters will be satisfied if they are found guilty for their crimes. No, like, partial anything. Like, they are tried, guilty, done. If they are found not guilty, yeah, Baltimore might burn.
That's an understatement. I think it won't just be Baltimore either. Jesse Kimball, Mr. Blue, thank you so much for coming on here and talking about this very, very important topic. I appreciate it a lot.
You're welcome.
Yep.
And on a final note, I do want to say, in response to my own question, that I don't think this is enough. If they are convicted of what they have been accused of, it's not enough as long as this continues. John Stewart said that, it may have been John Stewart, it may have been somebody else. I may get the name wrong and I apologize, but it was somebody on there said that they'll stop talking about it when it stops happening.
Right.
And as long as this continues to happen, as long as there are police officers or anybody that will cause harm to another person unjustly, and as long as the media exploits that for their own advantage, then more cities will burn, more people will suffer, and more innocent people will lose their lives in the name of false justice.
You may have noticed I put in the qualifier, they will be satisfied for now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, until it happens.
But there is no end game. There will always be injustice, and how do you solve it? No one knows.
Yeah, there will always be injustice. There will always be lapses in the law and in the justice system. There will always be failures by members of the criminal justice system from the very top to the very bottom.
I agree.
Because they're humans. But and perfection is likely never attainable.
No. But I think...
But it's an ideal.
Yes.
And I'm an idealist. And I think there are many, many more like me within the law enforcement community. I know that there are.
I hope you're right.
And we will never stop trying.
No, and I think the moment that we as a society stop trying
is the moment we collapse.
Is when society will collapse. The moment that we stop trying and we stop holding people accountable for what they've done is when we can all truly say that we are everything that they say we are. Every bad thing you can say about human beings, we will be. The moment we give up on each other. I hate to leave on such a depressing note, but we do have to wrap this up. Again, gentlemen, thank you so much. Good reader, good listener, everybody out there who listens and reads Blogzilla and Podzilla, thank you so much for listening. We'll be back tomorrow with more stupid things for you to laugh at. But I think it's important for you and for all of the people behind us that are hooting and hollering and getting drunk to remember what is happening in this country. It's not worth burying your head in the sand because you get to have a good day when other people aren't having a good day. Remember each other and keep trying. Thank you guys.
Be safe.
Wish you good night.